Hello, Spanish lovers. Hola, hola. Welcome to Spanish We Do. Today's episode has got its own introduction recorded at the time I had a conversation with my guest today. But there is one thing I forgot to tell her completely. So I'll take this first minute to let you know about it because it's a curious thing. This is Spanish We Do, a show about everything and anything that can be done in Spanish. My name is José R. Does it sound very Spanish? R. José. And I'm the head of Spanish We Do, a team. We do localization and translation and dubbing and subtitles between Spanish and English and vice versa. Should you ever need us, SpanishWeDo.com or also Twitter or Instagram, we're all over the place. Now, what did I forget when talking to my guest, who is from Sweden? That there is an expression, particularly in Spain, it goes like this, hacerse el sueco. Well, in Spain, the pronunciation will be a bit different, hacerse el sueco. Now, it says playing the Swede or pretending you are from Sweden. What does it mean? It means pretending you don't know, you ignore something that you most likely know or everyone knows you do know. You're playing dumb. Like, no, I'm sorry, dear officer. No, was that a red light? That one back there, it seemed to me purple. I thought it was celebrating this and that. Well, playing the Swiss. Hacerse el sueco. Let's see how my guest does that today. Would she? Okay, to the episode now. Hola, Spanish lovers. Welcome to Spanish We Do, a show about everything and anything that can be done in Spanish. For instance, having a very painful name. Which is a particularity, I don't know if this language in particular, I know Portuguese shares it too, Galician also, but for example, there are names such as Dolores, which means pains, names such as Angustias, which means, yes, anguish, that's what it sounds like. And it's kind of like old names that come from very strict Catholic times. And they are relatively not so frequent anymore, but still, you hear them. So, well, there you go. There you go. You can name someone maybe Wound. That would sound interesting. What's your name? Herida. Wound. No, that one doesn't exist, but might be interesting. This show is a production of SpanishWeDo.com, which is, well, my translation and localization, subtitling and dubbing team between Spanish and English and vice versa. And today we're doing, what for this season is kind of new, which is having guests from outside the Spanish culture, just to get a feel of what ideas and thoughts are over there floating in the air, or maybe it's just knowledge. Maybe we got someone that knows more about the Spanish than I do, which can also be the case. And for that, we have today, well, you know what? I'm going to say your first name, which is, I'm going to try, but you're going to say your last name first, because I do not want to screw it up. So your name is Hande. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Done. Yeah, well done.
Okay, what's not your full name? Right.
my full name is Hanne Frida Kristina Hannele Evhammar.
That Eve sounded Hammer long. Okay, name. No, but that's several names, isn't that the case? That's several names, so right there.
Yeah. The three other names in there, that's middle names. So my middle names are Frida, Christina, and Hannele. So my last name is Evhammar, which is at the very end.
Evhammar.
Yes.
Well, okay. Yeah. Okay, that wasn't that bad. Well, welcome, Hannele. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me and to us and to our listeners and viewers and everyone in the universe that feels they have any interest in Spanish and happens to find us.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're very welcome. Mm. To begin with, just a short story. We got connected through Acamar, which is a production company in London, and we're doing some work together.
Yes. So, yes, we're doing translation work together.
So we can talk a little bit about it if you want to, just to give context. But let's begin with you. Where are you from? Where were you born? Where do you live currently, if different from where you were born? And just maybe your general professional activity, what you do.
Sure. Okay, so I'm Swedish, so I'm from Sweden and I'm born in Sweden. I'm from Stockholm, which is this little picture behind me as well. That's Stockholm, my hometown.
Looks cool.
I moved to London about 5.5 years ago to pursue acting.
Yeah.
So I studied acting for 3 years. I still do acting and I still do some singing here and there, but currently I work for Acamar, which is an animation production company. And I've been with them since January this year. And I mainly work with translations. And that's how you and I know each other as well.
That's correct. And we're working
Yeah.
for, can I say the show? Can you just
Yeah,
mention the show?
sure.
Okay.
Go
No,
for
you
it.
do it. You do it. You know it more than I do.
Well, the show is called Bing. It's a preschool animation for, well, mainly like 2, 3, 4 year olds. And it's a great show actually, because it's educational at the same time as it's entertaining. So it's a privilege really to be working on it.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is
Yeah.
one of the most interesting challenges. We're going to call it challenging because, yes, it is in part. I've faced in translation because it is not just translation from English into, in this case, Latin American Spanish, let's say that. But it is not just for little kids, which is not just for little kids, but it's about little kids. So they speak, these characters are supposed to speak like actual little kids in their native language. So there are mispronunciations and funny words and sometimes small language confusions. And that has to be reproduced somehow in the translations in the Spanish in this case. So that's going to be a whole episode on its own once we go further into it. But it's been really interesting and I have learned more things about Spanish than I knew thanks to Bing. So
That's amazing.
I'm learning Spanish along Bing. We are both at
Good.
about the same level of
Yeah.
proficiency in Spanish.
That's amazing. But yeah, it is really a pleasure to be working on it, and with translations as well. I'm learning so much from people. I'm learning so much just being on calls and meetings with other translators. It's amazing what they can teach you about language and cultures and everything. So yeah, it's great.
Yeah, we'll
I'm
revisit
happy.
that in the future. Okay,
Sure,
we're just sort of like starting out. We've been at it for maybe 3, 4 months just now. Okay, hang on. Has Spanish been in any way part of your life?
It has actually. When I went to high school in Sweden, so high school in Sweden is between the ages of 16 and 18. So I
Okay.
don't know if that's di a different anywhere else. I know it's different compared to England. But and then actually, because I went to a high school which had, so in Sweden, it's, well, you can basically decide what subjects you want to study in Sweden at that age. So I decided to study language. And during my second year, it was all about Spanish. So we basically did like a deep dive into the Spanish language and culture and everything. And then we got to live in Spain for a month. That was paid by the school and everything. So we got to live in actual like homes with Spanish families and everything. So that was really good. It was exciting.
Where was that? In what part of Spain?
In Lugo, yeah.
Oh, that's
So
Galicia. That's where I live.
yeah.
I don't live in
Oh,
Lugo,
amazing.
but I live like an hour away.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, it was beautiful. I really enjoyed it, and it was such a lovely town. It felt very safe in a way, I remember, because I felt like because it's the wall around it as well, isn't
Yes.
it?
Yes.
Yeah, and that made me feel strangely safe. So I thought that
It's a
was
very
really
small
interesting.
city. It's a small city, but it's got this wall around the
Yeah.
what you could call downtown. But
Exactly.
it is great because not only the wall is very well preserved, but also on top of the wall, you can just run around the city on top of it. Did you ever?
Yeah, I did every day. Every day after school, I walked there. I found it fascinating, and
We're
it's
more
absolutely
connected than I
beautiful.
thought. This is scary
Yeah,
now.
it's
Okay, now, but I
amazing.
have a question that is not connected to Spanish, but in a way, yes, because it has to do with perception. Did you
Sure.
already know before you went to live in Spain, but Lugo in particular, a city in Galicia, that there was a language called Galician? And did anyone ever try to speak to you in Galician?
No. I think in that way, I think Swedes might be a bit ignorant, because I think we think that Spanish is the same everywhere, which is really stupid.
Well, don't use the word ignorant there, but yes, you just don't know. And that's a common thing, and we'll go into that. So how did that happen? Tell. You were expecting to find Spanish, evidently.
Yeah. Well, that's what's interesting about it. And I think once we got there, me and my classmates, that's when we started realizing that there are actually, you know, different types of Spanish, and there's different types of culture in Spanish as well, or the Spanish cultures are different. But I think it mostly came from talking to the family that I lived with.
Yeah.
I feel like I still don't know enough about it, actually, to be able to you know, tell you, oh, I know this and I know that about it. But it's just really interesting. And I feel like there's a lot of history in that as well that would be really interesting to know more about.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have, in the making, an episode specifically about that. The languages in Spain that are not Spanish, and they are official languages. And there are many.
Yeah.
There are many. Well, mainly I can think of, that I know, at least four or five that are not Spanish. Some are close to Spanish. Some are not close to Spanish. Galician is a very thin, very interesting in particular, because Galician is the mother tongue of Portuguese. It is before, it precedes Portuguese. So, well, there's a ton of things to talk about right there. But also there is but that's going to be for that episode, but not only about these languages, which is evidently interesting. The country is called Spain. The language is known as Spanish, or is it? We'll talk about that too. Mm. And there are more languages that are not Spanish. That's surprising. And I know, I get it. That's absolutely understandable, I believe.
Definitely.
Okay, so you've got different stages in your life. So you went into Spanish. Why did you want to study Spanish when you were in your high school? Were you maybe around 17 then?
Yeah, 17 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why Spanish?
Why Spanish? Well, I think because when we went to high school, we had the option to study three different languages, and it was German, Spanish, and French. And I think because me and my family have gone to Spain a lot as well for holidays through the years, especially when I was younger. So I felt like I had more of a connection to it that way, because I had, you know, spent time there. It felt more of like, oh, so then I should learn more Spanish because we're going to go there more often anyway.
Yeah.
So I think that was really my main reason. And then I think also being a teenager, I was like, oh, it's probably easier to learn Spanish than French and German. But I had no like reference to that decision at all. But I think that was really my main reason for it, because I knew that we were going to spend some more time in Spain. Yeah.
Okay, great. I was going to have asked a question that maybe now it makes no sense, but I was going to ask if you wanted to pretend you spoke Spanish, what kind of sounds would you do? But in this case,
oh,
you do
my
speak
God.
Some. You do say some. What would you say? Which is probably regularly not a very kind opinion on oneself. But what would you say from 1 to 10 or 0 to 10, your level of Spanish was at that time and now?
Oh, I mean, back then it was definitely better. Because back then I could have gone to Spain and I could have, you know, I could have asked for directions, or I could have kept, you know, an easy conversation with someone. Today, I'm definitely not at that level. I've definitely not kept it up as much as I would have liked to. It would have been amazing to have it, you know, to keep going and to keep learning about Spanish and the language and more about the culture as well, really. But I think at the moment, I'm definitely like maybe a 2.
Be kind, come on.
A 2 out of 10. I don't know, actually, because I don't really have anyone to practice with anyway, so I wouldn't know. Because it's different, isn't it? If I have someone who would actually speak Spanish with me, I think it would probably jog my memory a bit better with some words and how to phrase things. Actually, one of my favorite things to say when I was studying Spanish was ¿Cómo se llama? Because I kept wondering all the time, like, oh, how do you say this? So I would go constantly, oh, ¿cómo se llama? Blah, blah, blah. And then that was my favorite thing to say. That was my trademark, basically.
Which in English is? I mean, for the...
Sorry? Yeah, like, how do you say?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's the name of this thing or this other thing or whatever?
Exactly.
But also at the same time, you can ask exactly that for someone's name if you're doing it in the formal way.
Oh, right.
Because
Okay, that's
if it was
interesting.
the informal way, well, I just mention these little things from time to time because there might be people that don't know any Spanish or a little
Yeah.
bit more. Okay, so there are two ways of for the second person in Spanish. You have a very formal, well, in general, there are more. I'll just make an additional comment at the end. But you've got two. One very formal, which is usted. That doesn't exist in English, okay?
Usted.
There's only you in English, that's it. But in Spanish, you
Yeah.
have usted, which is formal. Like you would talk like that, maybe, I don't know, you are a bank teller and the president of the bank comes in. So, unless he comes in wearing flip-flops, or maybe even so, you would treat him as usted. And that affects the conjugation of all the verbs, which is a complication,
Okay.
I know. So, in that sense, I'm very happy. I'm a native speaker. I did not have to learn. But yeah, a lot
Okay.
of people have problems with that, even native speakers at school. But also, you have the informal one, which is tú, which is like a friendly, approachable way. So, ¿cómo se llama? Would be like saying, what is your name? But in the usted form. ¿Cómo se llama? And
Okay.
you can add usted at the end, which is not necessary because since the verb already indicates which pronoun it's being used, it's not necessary to say the usted at the end. It would be ¿Cómo se llama usted? And the person very formally would say, mi nombre es whatever, etc. Okay,
Yeah.
José, for example, a very
Yeah.
common and not exciting name. So, but the informal way would be ¿Cómo te llamas? So it
Oh, see,
changes instead
okay.
of se, it changes to te and an s at the end.
Okay,
But
okay.
and just a short comment because I said there are more forms of the second person of the second person pronoun in Spanish. Yes, there are more, but they are not used everywhere. For example, you have for plural, you have ustedes in plural, ustedes, which is and you have vosotros. You have those two. Now, that difference is a complication. Well, I won't get into too much detail because it would take time, because it's not an easy thing to understand, but it's a funny thing to understand because it's going to take us into another subject related to Spanish. And it is,
Oh, sure.
ustedes is the plural for a singular form of you. And also, vosotros is a plural for a singular form of you. Okay, ustedes, vosotros. You're saying the same thing, but vosotros in Spain is informal. So you're talking to maybe your friends, or you're trying to be, I don't know, a friendly teacher, a cool teacher. So you use vosotros, okay? Ustedes in Spain is very formal. So maybe a teacher that wants to be detached from the students, okay, would use
Oh, I
ustedes.
see.
But, and here comes the complication, vosotros is not used in Latin America. No one uses it. It doesn't exist, except,
Oh.
so there's only ustedes, meaning you in plural form in Latin America is always ustedes. If, whether formal, informal, it is ustedes. There's just that one. Not in Spain. Vosotros informal, ustedes formal. But what's the interesting part here? That vosotros, which is from Spain, not used in Latin America, was used by Spanish preachers at church. They would use it. So
Oh.
when a Latin American hears vosotros being used as the plural for the second person, for you, it sounds so celestial. It sounds like God's speaking. So it sounds
Oh,
extremely super mega formal, which is completely the opposite of the use it has in Spain.
I
That's a super odd
see.
thing because only preachers would use it. I mean, priests in churches or maybe outside of churches. And I guess they were thinking they were being friendly, but people got it like, oh my God, this is God talking to me. This is how God talks. So that's a very odd thing. I don't know, it might be confusing to understand. Hopefully, it wasn't too confusing to understand. Okay, we're going to leave episode one there. I hope that was enough. Because more is coming. And as you see in these conversations with people outside of the Spanish-speaking world, interesting things come up, and even interesting things that give us, the guest and I, an opportunity to talk about the Spanish, the language and culture and all of that. For instance, what comes in episode two? Well, I'm going to ask Hanne her impressions about different things related to Spanish speaking, both culture and the language, like how many variations of Spanish are there? And I'm going to tell her, well, my view and what ideas are there around it. The difference between a Latin American laughter and European or Spain's laughter when you write them out. Like the ha ha ha, well, it's not the same ha ha ha. Agne, my guest from Sweden, will tell you her favorite word in Spanish, but it is at the same time a flavor she doesn't like. And we'll finally discover that there is someone from Sweden who is so very Spanish because he is completely the opposite to the supposed standard sweet behavior, then it is almost impossible to believe. But you know who it is, most likely. All of that and more in episode 2 with A Swede Goes to Spain. In Spanish, we do. Chao, chao. Hasta el número 2. I'll see you there.